Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 168 for September 9th, 2013. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Anger.
And I'm confused? Oh, wait.
Ricky, you have a cold today. My goodness.
My, you've become a baritone. That's very, very nice.
Yes.
Ricky did threaten to walk off the show because there was no mail, and so she is taking the week off, and Buddy has kindly joined us on what turns out to be a very quiet news week.
Just you so wait. Much. This is the calm before the storm.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
I know Joe won't sleep a wink tonight in anticipation of the Apple cast that's coming, or the Apple announcement that's coming on the 10th.
Uh-huh. I, on the other hand, will sleep quite soundly.
Yeah, because I'm eating my Kit Kat bars. I'm doing good.
I know that tomorrow all of my predictions will come up false. So yes, I'll sleep well tomorrow because my record will be intact.
There you go.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay, let's just go ahead and throw that out there. New Apple TVs and MacBook Retina Pros. There we go. All right.
And we're not going to talk a whole lot about that because by the time people hear this, they will know what's really coming, and we don't quite.
No more than us. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. So we're just going to, not embarrass ourselves too much this week.
And besides, you'll need to have something to listen to on Triple Click Home when that comes up.
That's right. Which
we'll be recording after tomorrow's event. So you'll get a double dose of bad predictions. Yes.
Yeah.
I can tell you still might need money in your wallet.
Oh, money? Yeah.
Yeah. You'll definitely possibly be using that new PayPal app that might be working with iOS and VoiceOver. There's going to be a lot of money that's going to be required in the next 3 or 4 months if you are a tech junkie.
Mm-hmm. Big time. Well, I don't know that I will be. Well, I can tell you I won't be buying everything that's going to be coming out, but we'll see.
Neither. I'm definitely on board getting the new iPhone.
Yeah, I think I probably am too. As Patrick says, this is his year not to care. This is my year to care. So apparently it's Buddy's as well. So.
Champagne wishes. Champagne, is that what?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I'm not getting that bubbly one, though. I'm just going to get a plain, get that one. Boring okay. one.
Plain, yeah.
I got a rock. I got the new iPhone. I got the new Apple TV.
Blind people
got
a rock.
Oh, looky there.
Yeah, yes.
Well, that's
comes around
actually,
full circle.
That's actually not all the news that's going to happen. There actually is some news that happened last week. And, coming up for the impending Windows 8.1, the onslaught of updates have started to roll.
Yes, they have. GW Micro is ready with WindowEyes 8.3, so go grab that if you are a WindowEyes user and check that out.
With bug fixes and stability improvements.
Can't beat those, man. Those are always important.
Popular. Very, very popular. I hear so much about those.
Yes. Yeah. We know nothing about any of that here at Serotech, do we? No. Not at all.
No.
No SMAs, so there's all sorts of free updates all the time over here.
There you go.
But as they say on television so many times, that's not all. There's all sorts of free updates.
There's more.
More? Tell me
there's
more.
There's more. HIMSS has updated the Braille Edge again. There's a patch to the 1.1 update that got released last week, and so you can read about that at the HIMSS website.
We have a blog post here from Scott Davert, who's called in before on the show, and he talks about the new firmware upgrade plus the executive products case that lets you use the device in the case. If you just use what comes with the device, you have to take it out, like if you travel with the Braille display. So he's really impressed with both the update of the firmware and the case. He says it's almost like using a new product, and that's pretty cool when you can get an update that
and
does that for
you. And also how easy it is to do the update. He really liked that.
Exactly.
But as far as the executive products cases, I'm really impressed with those anyway. I've got them for my book players, and you can use them in the case, and they're quality made. And I like that he says this one for the Braille Edge has the magnetic closure, so you're not listening to the nice Velcro ripping sound.
Or getting it caught on your sweater. That's always fun.
Or getting caught on your sweater. Yeah, that's always good times. But the Velcro sound, and well, it's not just a little Velcro either, because on the book players, it runs the whole length of the device, so you get rip.
Sure does.
Uh-huh.
And I have had my executive case for my book since launch, and it is very durable and holds up extremely well.
Yep.
Cannot say enough nice things about that executive case. And I will have my book sense on hand by me and standing next to Jenny Axler of Hymns, as we are going to be at two big things coming up at both Houston and Dallas. So if you're in the Houston area.
It's not to be confused with the Braille sense on hand.
Nice.
Yeah. In Dallas and in Houston, for our open houses in Houston, it's going to be at the Houston Lighthouse. And in Dallas, we're going to be at the AFB Center for Low Vision and seeing my good friend Neva Fairchild, co-worker. She and I used to be co-workers at DARS. And we're also going to have the radio reading services for both cities on hand. So we're going to have Sight Into Sound, Carrie Musgrove there in Houston, and Steve Cummings up in Dallas for North Texas Radio, both Dallas and Austin now. Dallas has taken over the Austin one? Uh-huh.
Because I know Austin had its own when I lived there 100 years ago, but...
Did and recently retired it. And now Dallas is kind of simulcasting and doing simulcasting. Both cities. Yeah. So we're going to be able to talk about that and Hymns products and Saratech products and feature the Socializer. So if you're hearing my voice and it is not September 19th, September 19th is the Houston date. And if it's past September 19th, head on over to Dallas, where on September 26th, we will be at the AFB Center.
And if it's past September the 26th, you're out of luck.
Yeah, we'll see a convention, ATIA, we'll be around. Trust me, no, we'll have other events that we're working on as well.
Well, along with update releases, Humanware is going to jump right in, and they have released an update to the Victor Reader Stream 2nd Generation. They're doing a lot more with their wireless abilities, podcasts, NFB Newsline, book share. So those of you who own the second gen,
it almost makes me want one.
Yeah, I know. I keep tying my old Victor Reader Stream to the back of the car and trying to wear it out, and it's too rugged. I can't justify a new one yet. But
Ricky's run hers underwater while washing dishes a couple of times, you know.
Oh, it's, man.
Wow. It's like that commercial. Have you seen that commercial where they talk about so-and-so has the new iPhone and they go, oh, but I just got the new iPhone on Sprint or whatever, and then they keep dropping phones, or I left it in the cab. Oh, no, stop with my iPhone. They keep coming up with excuses so they can get the new one.
Exact right.
I've got the old Stream that I got last year on a discount, but I also have a BookPort Plus. So, I mean, I've got an update too, didn't they?
Or no, the PlexTalk Pocket.
No, the PlexTalk got a pocket.
Yeah, the PlexTalk Pocket also had an update.
The PlexTalk Pocket got an update. So I expect we'll see something from the BookPort Plus soon, since it's the same hardware. But I also have a BookSense, but it's quite dead, and I suppose I should send it to Hymns and have them revive it. But with all that, I just unfortunately can't justify buying another one. Donations gratefully accepted. Please send them care to, anyway.
That's right. I'd like to own a BookSense.
I don't own one of those. I want one again. I don't. Donations gratefully accepted. You know. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or blindbargains.com. I'm just saying, guys. Oh,
that's a possibility. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
JJ, I expect a check in the mail. Anyway, So there is also updates coming, like, I don't know, Windows 8.1 and IDA. So let me just pull a number out of the air. 15. JAWS 15.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hmm. And the latest FS Cast 81. We should be playing bingo. B5. 81 has the latest on what's coming up in JAWS 15. And you could have gotten a preview of that before this if you'd listened to our convention coverage where Ricky talked to Eric about what was coming in JAWS 15. But I imagine this podcast has a little bit more detail.
Indeed. And I had to smile, Joe, because as I was listening to Eric Damery talk, I felt like I was listening to you, because he very gently but kind of firmly reminds people that Windows XP, if you're still on it, you need to budget and take care of that next year.
Yep.
Because you're going to be in a world of hurt, because if you think there are Windows exploits now, buddy boy, wait a minute, because there's going to be lots more coming.
I've known Eric for a long time, and he's always been good at reminding people what's a JAWS key and what's a Windows key. He's also been very good about reminding people about upgrading before. So that's not a surprise. I probably picked it up through osmosis through one of the many JAWS demos I've watched over the last decade and a half or so.
Thank you for mentioning that, though, because this is something that we mentioned on Triple Click Home, was the training aspects of people learning a screen reader versus people learning an operating system. And I'm glad that Eric does that, because it's something that I think more trainers need to emphasize, that there are differences in what things are operating system concepts and what things are screen reader concepts and where they separate.
Agreed. And Eric is right. XP, it's going away. Office 2003, going away. It is not going to be a very safe place to be. Once when official support stops, and yes, you may have antivirus, but it'll be working overtime, let me tell you, kids.
We're all very sorry. We're all very sorry, but we'll all be dragged into the ribbon, kicking and screaming. I know I'm kicking and screaming myself, but unfortunately, there's not really any way of avoiding it any longer. It's the price of progress. I don't know.
It depends how you feel about that progress. Yeah. Going to Windows 7, I'd say maybe. Going to Windows 8,
not so much.
Yeah. Office 2003 to Office 365 for $99. That's neat. That's good progress.
Yeah. We like that price for sure. But like I say, you're stuck with the ribbon, unfortunately, guys. That's just the thing. So I guess get used to it. Doesn't mean you have to like it, because, I mean, if I had my druthers, I'd still be on WordPerfect 5.1 for DOS.
Yeah. And using a flip phone.
Yeah.
A flip phone. Looky, we have an article about a flip phone.
A new release flip phone.
From Sprint.
A spanking new flip. Actually, you know, it's really interesting, because I was looking at this and I'm thinking about Melanie, because Melanie is my wife. And if you don't know from listening to other thingies, but she loves her iPad, wants absolutely nothing to do with a smartphone. Nothing. Well, right. Want my flip phone, want my regular button phone. In fact, she doesn't even like cell phones. She, you know, if like we could get the cordless phone to work outside the house, she'd probably throw that in her purse. And
there you go.
I mean, I've thought about buying her one of those Bluetooth telephone handsets, you know, that looks like a telephone handset, but it's Bluetooth.
Oh, wow.
Maybe somebody's done one where you put it in a shell. So you take an actual iPhone and slide it into a handset, like just a...
Oh, there you go. That would be...
Like a cover.
You know? New Kickstarter campaign.
There we go.
New Kickstarter. So anyway, so there's this new feature phone. It's a flip phone, and it'll do some web browsing and stuff. And supposedly all of that talks, and you can get it for free on a 2-year contract with Sprint. Now, interestingly, I did a Google search on this over the weekend, and I found the same model, at least the same model designation, the Kyocera Kona, available for like $15, $17, something like that on Virgin Mobile, which runs on the Sprint network, and I think it's actually owned by Sprint. And it looks like it's the same phone. It doesn't say anything about its text-to-speech capabilities in the little blurbs I've read. I'd like to actually talk to Virgin and see if it is, in fact, the same phone. But if that's the case, for people who are going prepaid, that might actually be a way to go, because, and it makes me wonder about these cell phone prices, because Sprint on their website, I went and looked at it, and it says free with 2-year contract after $50 mail-in rebate. You get a $50 card or something like that. But retail price of $200-something. Okay, so does that mean that Virgin Mobile, even though it's prepaid, is still subsidizing this thing somehow? Or is the other price inflated, or what?
Or it's a really cheaply made phone.
It's
Kyocera. I mean, that's they've made durable units in the past, and I'm using those words very sparingly. Maybe this is also for you if you're a Samsung Haven fan and you need somewhere else to go. Jamie, your former phone?
Yes, it was. I did own one of those for a while. Not bad for what it is.
I am patiently awaiting the Droid 5. So Droid 5 leaks.
Yes. This one claims that you can actually adjust the speed of it, of the speech, which you could not do with Haven.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, this is true.
That sounds kind of frustrating.
Oh, yeah, the Haven was slow.
Yes, it drove
me up a wall.
Well, some people would say that some organizations are slow to react, but it seems that the NFB is looking to kind of get rid of those perceptions with a new survey that's gone out asking individuals to honestly tell them what they think of the organization. Now, I can imagine that this will result in a very large deluge of responses, and I think it's why the internet got slow over the weekend after this was announced, because some people are very critical or very pro NFB. Now, I'm going to exclude myself from the rest of this conversation because I am the vice president of the Assistive Technology Division for the National Federation of the Blind, and I've spoken in front of Computer Science 5 times, so...
Yeah, well, I'm also a chapter vice president myself. I will say,
we'll just let Jamie
talk. Yeah, but I will say that I took this survey, and it's an easy survey. It won't take long. The choices that you have are pretty easy. I think I would have liked a little bit more...
Granularity.
Yeah, because okay, it was always, mostly, sometimes, never. And I'd really like something between...
So it's like 5, 4, 3, 1.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no 2, there's no... More actually, it sounds more like 5, 4, 4.5, and 1.
How about a pie?
Well, there's that. I think it's a good first step, though. And I agree. Publicly,
I don't think it's anything the NFB has done.
I would say since Dallas 2006, and then, of course, the National Federation of the Blind Convention in Detroit 2008, there was a large push to get more children involved. Youth Slam came up, some acceptance of guides and service animals. I think there are edges that have kind of not been as sharp as they once were, unless you have been with the organization over time, or maybe not dealing with the organization as closely, you might not see some of those things. And I think there's been a lot of change to accept what is and isn't blindness anymore, and what is and isn't access anymore. I think, you know, with the, if we just go back to the launch of, say, KNFB Reader, think about how text has changed over the last half decade. You know, that's not the big barrier to entry it once was. So I think over time, the organization has to change, and certainly the personnel will change, and them reaching out and getting opinions, I think that's great. I think it's really, really good, and I think it's good.
Well, and I think perceptions really of the organization need to change, and I think they're reaching out to see exactly how those perceptions can change. I think that kind of matters too.
I'm just glad they knew better than to ask the open-ended question on Twitter. My favorite thing about the NFB is, and then just leave that hanging, because that's a good way to get slaughtered.
Open comment section on a blog post or something like that.
Yeah,
the internet will be the internet.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot that an organization has to do now in order to get people involved, because it's, you know, we've talked about before with nonprofits. Some people think by doing a Facebook like they've contributed. No, not really. And then other individuals might not recognize that you used to go, we're all kind of fairly old on this podcast, you used to go to the library every third Thursday to go talk to the service animals, you know, users group. Now that's not really a thing. You don't need to go to the library. You just need to fire up the internet and find the right chat room or mailing list or, you know, Twitter feed or what have you. So, you know, an organization does have to redefine every now and then to see that it's meeting the needs of those it's serving.
Or maybe a podcast, buddy. What about that?
Podcast? What is it? What is this podcast of which you speak? Oh, yes, podcast. Yeah. Look at this. There's a whole list of podcasts.
Man.
Does Dr. Carter ever sleep? Look, here's a list.
I'm kind of wondering the same thing.
It's here's like, a list of all of Robert Carter's favorite podcasts. And there's like freaking, I don't know how many podcasts there are in here, but like what? Do you like put them on and subliminally program your brain in your sleep or
one or
what?
Two?
I mean, there's, yeah. Are there like
one or two pages?
Yeah,
he has three book players that he plays at high speed, and he just sets them around the room.
No, it's like that episode of Star Trek with the teacher. He just goes and puts his head, and they, you know, pull the little helmet down, and it just beams it all in. You know,
yeah,
something like that. Shout out to recommending Triple Click Home and Sarah Talk. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, and of course our friend Allison at the Nozilla podcast, who is not blind, but is very cognizant of the issues that we have with technology and things, and really champions that as well. Lots and lots of podcasts on here, not all blindness related, not all Apple related. He's got a very diverse, very eclectic list here. So go have a look at it, and you're going to find something that you like.
We have a link here to a documentary with a description. It's a documentary of hiker Randy Pierce. He's blind, and he hiked all of the peaks of New Hampshire in the winter time. And pretty interesting.
Brave guy.
Man, you know, yeah. He had or has a neurological disorder of some sort that caused him to not be able to walk for a while, in addition to losing his sight. And he regained the ability to walk.
Up for that.
Yeah, I did. Has a guide dog that was specially trained to not be disturbed by his, I forget, what's it called, a hiking stick, I think, something like that, that they use.
Yeah, like the pole.
Yeah.
The hiking pole.
So very cool stuff. And he's going to do it again, I believe. I think he's actually going to hike like in the different seasons. I'm not exactly, I have to go back and re-listen to that documentary and really zero in on it. But there's some good stuff there.
Yeah, I downloaded this myself. I haven't listened to it yet, but I've downloaded it. You can download the DVS track for free. Mm-hmm. You can get a DVD of it for a donation of $25 or more. I think that it looks like it's a pretty worthwhile thing to me. I plan on getting the DVD. I think my wife would enjoy it. My daughter would enjoy it too. There is a dog.
Oh, nice. Yes, very good. Well, Joe, what would you enjoy talking about next on this podcast?
Well, I was just thinking to myself that Jamie has been talking about a new way of using passwords, but he's going native, and I am going to discuss delicious candy because Ricky isn't here to share
candy.
It. So, candy. There we go. All that and more on CyberTalk 168.
Looking for a cross-platform solution to quickly convert printed materials and PDFs into text, MP3, or DAISY formats? Check out Cerotech's DocuScan Plus. For just $299, use DocuScan Plus on your Windows or Mac computer. Store documents in the cloud for easy retrieval and access them from anywhere. For more information, visit www.docuscanplus.com.
Welcome back to CyberTalk 168, and yeah, there's some Apple news still to happen this week. We're recording this before September 10th, but there was a whole lot of news last week, and geez, where do we want to start? Good grief. You know what?
Teeny tiny market shares?
Yes, let's just go ahead and talk about how I could take this little pile of Legos and move it over to your little pile of Legos and still not have enough to build a house. Anyway, that would be a good way of summarizing Microsoft buying Nokia.
I wonder if the new Windows startup sound is going to be...
Makes me think of Trigger Happy TV so bad. Now, I want to know if they get actually any of the galoshes tech or, you know, Nokia makes tires... Goloshes. Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Goloshes.
Here's a Dr. Demento reference. I guess, in a way, if we look at this in a bigger roundabout picture, not meaning roundabout later this episode, Microsoft went after a first party and now has what Google bought a couple of years ago with Motorola Mobility. Moreover, they bought a way into emerging markets. So they kind of sort of said, you know what, we're not going to really get United States. We may not be able to get Europe, but we can get all these other countries that still use Nokia a lot. And
we're number six.
Yeah, exactly. But it also gives them hardware patents. It gives them some distribution. It means that they get some of the engineers, which could probably help their devices team. Maybe they'll do their own first-party tablets other than Surface. Definitely what a lot of people are doing, and you're certainly seeing this with the iPhone 5C, is the United States doesn't matter anymore. So let's divvy up the rest of the world, and that's possibly what this Nokia deal is.
Who was surprised by this? Like, not me, considering, you know, how a couple of years ago when the, was it last year or was it the year before when the Lumia came out and there was that big, huge deal that Microsoft or that Nokia was going to have some huge percentage of their phones powered by Windows smartphone by now.
Yeah. Gardner or some crazy analyst who said, you know, you will have blank percentage by 2015. Of course, they also thought that RIM would still be RIM and have 30% of the market with BlackBerry. So there's that too.
Of the longest battery life I've ever seen on a phone has come from a Nokia phone though.
They made good stuff. It's unfortunate that Symbian kind of died, but yeah, they made some good phones.
There was Mego.
Hopefully they'll continue to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me go bye-bye. That's what
happened. Hopefully they'll continue to do that, and hopefully they'll put some accessibility, usability for like universal design things in Windows Phone now. Soon.
Yeah.
Please.
Be nice.
Thank you.
That would be helpful. Now, I actually sat with a friend of mine who helped me set up my aunt's Windows Phone. She got a phone from AT&T that was Windows Phone. And we were really surprised at the way that it's structured. And it really felt kind of limiting in what you can hook things up to. Not the apps, not even how things work, but I mean, just settings and how you connect things. And this person who was working with me on my aunt's phone to set it up was an Android user as well, but moreover was a Samsung user. And this person also has problems picking up stock Android because they've gotten used to Samsung. A little bit more on that in a little bit.
Buddy, you're wanting that Surface Pro 2. You know you are.
Yeah, I'm going to get right on that.
Okay.
Microsoft is updating the Surface Pro, and they're going to very originally call it the Surface Pro 2. Looks like it's going to be processor and RAM
weeks
upgrades.
In marketing.
Yeah, man.
They must have stayed up nights with that. But yeah, they're going to have more memory and faster processors, and it's going to pretty much look
size.
Like
hence the 2.
Yeah.
No.
There you go. But it's going to look about like it looks now, apparently, and yeah,
just
well,
the innards,
I mean, seeing how well it's done, yeah, I mean, it's done so well so far.
Well, has not done well. Surface Pro still got really good reviews, and a lot of people love the hardware.
Good reviews, but who's buying it?
Well, that's, I mean, but who's the market? I mean, that's really, you know, part of the problem is that some people don't see the same fun of a Windows tablet, you know, the way that some people feel about, say, the iPad. And so that's part of the issue, isn't it? And you've also got a crowded market now because you've got Acer and Lenovo coming out with the IdeaPad and the ThinkPad Yoga. So you've got those going out there. You've got Acer with different ones. You've got Samsung with the here. If you look at it funny, you can detach the monitor and now it's a Windows tablet or an Android tablet. So you have a bunch of different things out there. I don't know that there's value in Windows as a tablet operating system yet. Maybe that changes with 8.1. But, you know, I do know three people with Surface Pros.
Really?
Yes, they actually physically bought them. There was no contest involved or threat. They actually physically purchased them.
On purpose?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. I'm sure they're thrilled about Surface Pro 2. I'm sure that's... Yeah, that's thrilling. But again, it's one of those things that I think we have to look and see where Microsoft wants to go with their movement with Windows 8.1. I think when Windows 8.1 comes out, maybe that makes things a little easier and more understandable for some, if they're not already involved in some other ecosystem. And, you know, Microsoft has been very good at taking people's comments about them. I'm looking at you, Xbox One, and saying, you know what? Maybe we were wrong about that. Maybe you all were right and we shouldn't have done that. I wonder how Jeff Bishop feels. He's a big TechNet subscriber.
Is.
Buddy, are you TechNet? I'm not.
I am not.
Well, apparently a bunch of people didn't like some of the
changes.
Exactly.
Well, it matters to somebody, but not me.
Microsoft had made some draconian comments about TechNet and some services that they were going to change and alter. And in true Microsoft fashion in 2013, Microsoft said, well, you know, now that all of you have come with burning torches and hot lava, maybe we won't do that.
We'll give you a little bit more time. We're going to still do it, but we're going to, you know, we're going to, we'll copy
it's
another
like Windows
three.
XP.
Well,
it's going to happen.
We'll move it out a few more months. We'll move it out
just
a few more months
so that
you can have some time to, you know, get on board with something else, even though nothing else really is meeting your particular need. You can figure that out because you got 3 more months to do that.
So if you read the article over at Saratalk.com, it will explain how TechNet was used by a lot of people in developers and in a developing situation, or if you were a tester or if you were an enthusiast. So you could actually have lots of Windows keys and lots of licenses and have it on a bunch of systems. And it really was a good deal. But Microsoft has kind of moved away from that. Like with the Xbox One, they've had some situations where they want to change the way that licensing terms are done with software. In one respect, with Office 365, it's very liberal. You can put that on five different systems. But now Microsoft wants to kind of pull that back in the case of Windows and some of the other products. And so it's licensed to a single machine and things like that. So this isn't a big surprise, like Buddy was saying, it is inevitable. But if you were not paying attention to the news when Microsoft first announced this, now you have about 90 more days to think about whether you want to buy those options or maybe downgrade back to an earlier version of the product you're using.
Well, Joe, you mentioned it earlier, lots of opportunities to spend money in the next few weeks and months, and PayPal's trying to make that a lot easier by letting you purchase items right from their app. And make reservations, I guess, and pay your bill right from the table. That would actually be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Nice blindness-related things here.
Yeah.
Yes. And also bill me later.
Yeah.
Oh, bill you what later? Oh, you mean the service. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I will. Yes. So the PayPal app is working with only a few retailers and restaurants, but what is hoped to happen is that you will get your bill sent to PayPal, and you could pay on your phone or tablet through the PayPal app and not have to get that check from your server. And can you sign here? Above my finger, buddy. Above my finger, sir. Above my finger.
You mean not there.
Right there. No. And this is my copy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's your copy. Yeah. And you don't have to give them your credit card, which you then don't see for 3 minutes when it could be a copy.
It goes on a magical journey.
Yes.
Which, by the way, this gives me the perfect opportunity to talk about how online shopping really is no less safe than in-person shopping. And I don't care that you've never had your card stolen in person. The fact of the matter is it can happen very, very easily.
Yes, it can.
Yeah. You know you're in trouble when you call the 24/7 fraud prevention hotline and it's like, yeah, hi, how's it going? I'd like to report a problem. Yeah, huh? Yeah. You and about 55 other people in the last hour. It's very common, sadly. No matter what you're using, online banking is just one of those things now. Bill me later, though. Buddy mentioned that a second ago. Kind of like establishing a line of credit. And you can put things to it, and then you're paying PayPal for the purchases, and PayPal is being your credit of sorts.
Yeah, and usually if you pay it off within a certain amount of time, depending on the size of your purchase, then there's no interest charged.
Woo-hoo. I got a scam email one time saying I had a bill of like $8,000 to bill me later or something like that.
You could bill it.
Yeah, sure enough. I'll get right on that.
Well, I don't think we'll be seeing that coming to Chrome, do you, buddy?
No, I don't think that's going to be in Chrome, but there's a bunch of other things that will be in Chrome, and it looks like Google's going to be pushing for some more. Although I'm not really sure that I understand exactly what they're doing, since
circumventing the desktop. So
yeah, but the desktop is the browser, right? So
yeah, but now you'll have your own little sys tray kind of, you know, in the browser, and you can launch apps from within the browser. Windows 8 right now, it is coming to Mac, but the concept is that if you have a favorite app, I'll choose one of Jamie's favorite, Candy Crush Saga.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, you love it so much on Facebook. Let's say that's coming to Chrome, and you want to pick up your Android tablet and pick up where you left off, and you fire up the Chrome browser, and you launch Candy Crush, and there it is with all your saves and all your progress. Then you put your tablet down or give it to somebody and come back home and fire up your Mac and bring up Chrome, and hey, you can pick up Candy Crush Saga and pick up where you left off. And the idea is that, and you know, this is something that goes back to what they were saying at Google I.O., Chrome is your platform now. The apps exist in Chrome and multi-platform. So it doesn't matter what you're picking up when you go to Chrome. That's now, as what they called on Tech News Today, IE6 with ActiveX on steroids.
So it's still the browser, except they're trying to make it sound like it's not the browser, except that it is the browser.
Yeah, and it kind of forks away from...
Which is why this is hurting my brain.
Well, it forks away from what standards are, because you've got Mozilla pushing in one direction, you've got Internet Explorer holding on to their direction, you have now Google saying, this is the way we want to go, and that's not even getting into the 55 zillion versions of WebKit that are forking and breaking off. Basically, I don't understand how this will work out for web standards, because maybe, I guess, as you make a website that would work across all platforms and browsers, but it does seem like if you're going to go native, which is essentially what this is Chrome native apps, and they work offline too, which I wonder how much memory that takes up, because those Chromebooks don't have a lot of memory.
No, they do not. You've got a 16 gig flash drive.
There you go. That's all you need, 256K. Yep. That's all you need.
Nobody needs more than 640K ever.
That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it looks like this is Google's play to kind of sort of give you an experience on all platforms, kind of what we all heard HTML5 was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Hearing about things, Joe, what about smartwatches? You want a smartwatch, I believe.
And I don't have enough arms for all of these. Let's start off with Sony. Sony is making a smartwatch, right? Okay, so they've mm-hmm. got this, and it works with iOS and Android, which seems kind of real. Talk about lock-in. Sony used to be the king of the lock-in, but this is actually pretty open.
If you got Sony, it was guaranteed to not work with anything else.
Exactly, especially in the 90s in home theater. But this works with iOS and Android. It's a little more stronger/beefier than the Pebble. It's got a touch screen, but that was then followed by Qualcomm saying, well, we've got the Talk, and then Nissan coming out and saying, well, we're developing one. Yeah, I did say Nissan. I didn't stumble there. Then we had, so we have Qualcomm, Nissan, and Sony, and then last week we get a new one entering the picture in the Samsung Gear.
Although, I got to say, at least one thing, Sony's holding true to one thing. This article says that it's still too expensive.
It depends. I mean, a Rolex is expensive. A fashion watch is expensive. The watch you get from Tandy that talks for $19.99 is not that great, but it's there. I mean, it all depends on what you're looking for in a watch. Or is it any different than those people who bought the Kickstarter? I mean, the very first Kickstarter things that really took off were the bands that went around the iPad. Excuse me, not the iPad. That's a big watch.
Talk about your low vision watch.
Yeah, around the iPod. Remember, there was the Nano. There were a couple. And so that's what got Kickstarter rolling, was people wanted to wear that as a watch. And so they made bands that would go around it, and you would buy them off Kickstarter, and poof. So there are people who want that. There are people who wear Fitbits and Nike Fuel bands. So there is kind of a wearable computer bent going on here. The problem with Samsung's Galaxy Gear is that it's $299, which is more than some handheld video game consoles, and it only works within the Samsung universe. Now, to get back to the story I was telling a second ago, after we were developing our strategy for walking my aunt through her Windows phone, I had my Android Nexus 7 there, and my friend picked up the Android Nexus 7 and played around and said, I can't seem to find everything I want to find. And part of the problem was that she uses a Samsung S3, a Galaxy S3, and TouchWiz is so friendly and puts up so many little boxes like, oh, if you're doing this, these are your options. Or, hey, let me highlight this because you might want to be able to use these buttons in this app. They have gotten used to the idea of Samsung's OS walking them through things in Android, and just using the stock apps felt very confining to my friend. So that makes you then wonder, oh my gosh, Samsung is developing literally iOS. And in a way they are. If we go back again to the Samsung event at the Galaxy S4, they never said Android, but only twice.
Yeah, well, and what's that other phone operating system they're working on? Tizen.
They're working on Tizen, which is a variant of Linux. Then there's the Windows phones that they make. So, I mean, they could literally...
They got their fingers in lots of pies.
Well, the idea is that, for Samsung, it doesn't matter what's under it. If you're familiar with TouchWiz, then you're good. So that's no different than, say, iOS.
True.
So I just don't know that I want to spend $299 to work with Samsung devices, because as much as I have a Samsung television and some Samsung stuff in my house, I don't own enough to make that work. Plus, it works on Android 4.3 or higher. And right now, that's only the Galaxy Note 3 and Samsung
S4. Because all these people are coming out with new phones that have last year's Android on them.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yes. Yeah, I know we will.
The thing that Samsung does, though, that's different than Apple is Apple lets everybody go first, and then they come by and say, you know what? We looked at that. We think we can do it better. Right? That's what, NFC, will pass. But the rest of this stuff we're pretty good on. Samsung is more of a live beta. So we're standing now at the launch of the Galaxy Note 3. Now, we made jokes on this show, Jamie, just 2 years ago about the Galaxy Note, but it survived to a third iteration. So I can't really throw too many rocks at the gear because maybe this is just a revision one of the gear and it changes as they work out the kinks.
So maybe they're going to have sweet revenge.
And you get to pay for the privilege.
For being able to stick
around.
Well,
I have an iPad 1, so I can't really say that I didn't do the same thing for Apple. Because the differences between the 1 and 2 are vast.
True enough.
So what about switching from jelly beans and key lime pie to candy bars, man? With Google's new release, new OS coming out.
I think this is a smart idea. I know people hate it, but...
It's a nice co-branding thing.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
It's sweet, that's for sure.
Yes.
Android version 4.4 is now codenamed KitKat.
And Ricky's not here to talk about chocolate. We'll actually talk about chocolate when we come to mailbag even, man. Good deal.
This is quite a... chocolate. Dark chocolate.
I am a fan. No,
that's
absolutely
the only problem
dark,
with KitKat.
Dark chocolate.
It is not dark chocolate.
Mm. Ooh.
Well, certain countries have variants. I mean... KitKat, boy, you talked about forked operating systems. KitKat is way forked. You've got mint KitKats, potato-based KitKats. You've got, vanilla, white chocolate KitKats.
Oh, no. Don't even talk about that. That's marketing. Chocolate. There's no chocolate in white chocolate. I don't even want to hear about white chocolate.
So I actually got some mint-flavored KitKats when I was at a
that sounds awesome, though.
Dylan's Candy Bar, which imports candy. In the Houston Galleria. So there are various versions, and Hershey's licensed KitKat here in the United States, but outside the United States, Nestle's owns the KitKat empire, and it is an international brand. As much as some people don't like the idea of a sponsored operating system, I don't really have an issue with this because it actually helps people who are not technical connect with something that's not technical. So they'll see the little Android logo on KitKats, because Willy Wonka style, you'll be able to open up specially wrapped KitKats and get Google Play codes for Google Play dollars, or possibly yourself a Nexus 7.
I got a golden ticket.
Yep. You can go in and buy all those things you're not buying on the Google Play market. Anyway, the idea is that you could win a Nexus 7 or other things through specially marked KitKats that have codes inside them. And I don't really have an issue with this. I know I should, and I know a lot of people like Leo Laporte has been very against this and says it's, wrong and bad. But honestly, from a marketing standpoint, to get people to understand that the latest version of Android is going to be KitKat later this year, I don't have a problem with that because maybe there'll be some pushback on carriers. Maybe there'll be some awareness. Plus, I like KitKats.
So maybe phone manufacturers will start using the latest version of Android.
Hush your mouth. they ain't
coming. Oh, speaking of latest things, what about the leak of the Nexus 5 that we weren't really supposed to see?
What about that?
So let's have this big photo opportunity to show the Android statue, because they do a different statue on Google campus. And let's accidentally take out that new Google phone we haven't given to the FCC just yet to take pictures of said statue. And then the internet being the internet, people slowed down the video, took frame grabs, and saw a phone they hadn't seen before, possibly a Nexus 5.
I'm waiting for the Nexus bag.
The Nexus bag? Okay.
The Nexus bag phone, these phones are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm still waiting for them to come out with the Nexus bag phone.
Only if it's followed by the name Bagpipe, and it comes in Argyle.
Hmm. Well, Buddy predicted it, so it won't happen. Just saying.
That's right.
That's true. Darn. Yeah. I can tell you what's going to happen, though. I can do that. There's going to be this Apple event thing, and things are going to happen. Hmm. They're going to be announced.
In China, nonetheless.
In China.
Yes.
How about that? Yeah.
Don't they understand that you get takeout delivered? You don't actually go there? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Well, it's also Berlin. So it's China and Berlin.
I think there's one more, but I think that, Something I read suggests Japan, that they're just going to, you know, replay the Cupertino event and, like, I don't know, translate it or something. It's not going to be anything different.
Wonder if they'll translate it as bad as we translated Speed Racer cartoons or something.
Yeah, are they going to talk really fast?
Yes, exactly.
I just introduced Alina to Speed Racer a couple of weekends ago, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot they talk really fast and have really strange inflections because they're overdubbed.
It again shows that Android is 80% of the world market, and Apple is trying very, very much to get into that and get into the mind space. And to do that,
with last year's operating system and like 40,000 gazillion different phone manufacturers,
they have opened up a store in Japan and starting to reach people there. And Tim Cook has always had great ties with the suppliers in China. And he's certainly using that knowledge and that flexibility to talk to the telecom services in China to bring in the Apple iPhone. So, you know, they are showing some dedication to that market. And I think that's really an interesting thing. Now, there is a company called Xiaomi in China, which is kind of the quote unquote Apple of China. They actually just released a phone that looks a lot like the iPhone 5 and to the Chinese market about 2 weeks ago. It runs Android, but it also runs a skinned version of Android called Miui, and it looks a lot like iOS. So there's a very popular dominant player in China already, and this will be very interesting to see because, you know, Apple tends to do really well once when it's kind of flexed its muscles and kind of runs a market and runs at the table. They'll actually be the underdog going into China. So it will be interesting to see this overture with this presentation. I'm sure it's going to be followed by a lot more exclusives, maybe even exclusive colors to China.
Maybe the champagne phone is just for China.
Going to be some very depressed Hollywood elite people, if that's true. Or they're going to be learning to read Chinese.
No, they'll just like fly over and get one.
So do either of you expect anything in the Apple event that's truly a surprise? I realize we don't know.
No, because it wouldn't be a surprise if I expected it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but there's been so many leaks. I don't know. I mean, by the time everybody hears this, will sound very stupid, I'm sure, but the fingerprint reader that's been rumored, the things that are going on with maybe an update to Siri, more on maps, there's just a lot that's going, but I don't know that we'll see anything different than a phone that has some new processor power and stuff like that, really, because iOS 7 is the star.
I'm really more interested for when Buddy and Mr. Panarese can unzip their lips and talk about Mavericks from a voiceover user's perspective,
Probably another month.
I don't think that's
going to be this week.
You don't think? All right.
No.
Okay. No.
No.
No. Okay.
No.
All right. Well, coming up after the break, your mailbag, we do have mail this week. We're going to get to the heart of the matter, and we're going to be inspired right here on Serotalk Podcast 168.
I'm Rachel Ray, and food is not only the way I make my living, it's how I spend time with my family and friends. It's hard to imagine true hunger, but sadly, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal will come from. They're your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger to find out how you can make a difference. I'm Rachel Ray, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
No. Sorry. Try again.
Oh, I don't know how to use this Apple thing. The only thing I know how to do with it is...
Wait, there's lots more to learn, and Mac for the Blind can teach you. As an Apple-certified support professional in Lion and Mountain Lion, with 8 years' experience on Mac and 4 years' experience on iOS, TripleClick Home's own John Panarese has what it takes to get you comfortable and productive with all your Apple gadgets. Training packages are available for both Mac and iDevices. When you're ready to take a taste of all that your Apple can do, visit www.macfortheblind.com to get started.
MacfortheBlind.com.
Welcome back to Serotalk Podcast 168, and it's time to open up the mailbag because we do have mail this week.
Buddy, get this side.
Oh, man.
Get this side.
Man, this thing's heavy, dude.
Crap. Wow. Last time we asked Ricky to ask people for mail, I liked it better when this was a lot lighter. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they came through for us this time, man.
You betcha. We actually have some we can't even use yet, and as you know, that usually shows up on the feedback special. I'm thinking sometime in Christmassy?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feedback special four.
So let's look at this one. I think this is a...
iReporty kind of thing? Yeah, you take that and you flip it over. I know you haven't done this in a while. It's like beta cassettes. You put this over here and then... You put that, and then you push this down, like the door comes up. So now you got to push it down into the unit, like a VCR.
Oh, okay. Is that how that? Right. Okay.
Yeah, well, no one said this was state of the art.
This is why Ricky usually does this.
Yep. Right. She has a gentle hand.
And then you push that little green play button right
that one?
There.
No, not that one. I think that one's the. Oh, good thing you didn't press that one.
Yeah, you didn't erase it. Thank goodness. We'd never hear Rob Dittman.
Hi, everybody. It's Robert Dittman. How are you? I wanted to call and comment about autonomous vehicles from two different perspectives. First, as a blind person, I think it's absolutely cool. I think it's wonderful. I would love the opportunity to get in a car and say, look, take me to court or take me to wherever and have it do it. As an attorney, we need to have the reality that the only way it's going to happen is if there is no difference between a blind person's ability to react or a sighted person's ability to react, and the only way that's going to happen is if nobody can react. Because how tragic will it be if the blind person is sitting there in the autonomous vehicle and the autonomous vehicle kills a child? Okay? And from a legal standpoint, I would have to argue, I'm sorry, but the defendant did not have the ability to do anything to prevent this death, and that is because they were not qualified to drive because they cannot see. As much as it would stink to have to make that argument, I have to make it because the child was killed because the blind person couldn't react. Okay, now, does that mean that that's going to happen? No. I honestly think the other side of it, because my future wife, actually we're getting married on the 29th of September in the Bahamas. Hooray! She's sighted, of course, and she absolutely said, I would love the ability to go jump in a car and I don't have to deal with traffic and I don't have to deal with driving and road rage goes away and none of those other problems because everybody is just tied to the machine and we all get in our pods. I know Joe's drooling at this point. We get in our pods and we float away to our various destinations in blissful harmony in a complete utopia. Okay, cool. You guys have a great day. Take care. I'll talk to y'all soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, Rob gives us something to think about. Jamie, what do you make of this?
Well, I think he makes a great point when he talks about the fact that if a blind person is behind the wheel, someone is hurt in the vehicle, and it's determined that, hey, this blind person was not able to effectively operate this vehicle, then yeah, that's going to be a major problem. So...
Speaking about the lawyer that he now is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. You know,
thank
that
you,
he's
Rob.
Passed his bar. Now, yep. I mean, like, this definitely has some merit. I've got two thoughts on it, though. The first one is that, yes, the technology will always lead the social framework for the technology, always. And the social framework for the technology will always be behind, and this is not going to be any different. The other thing that I'm thinking is that... By the time autonomous vehicles are more the norm than the exception, I think we're going to have, like if we're going to have human override for that, I think this would be a great place for the NFB Blind Driver Challenge technology in that we would then be able to, if there was a fault with the car, maneuver it and pull it over the side of the road, and it would then call the autonomous tow truck to pull it back to the autonomous garage.
So having all these things come together, I like that idea.
There's the other side of it, and I don't think, unless you're someone who is maybe married to a sighted person or maybe in a family with other sighted individuals, the cost and barrier to entry is going to be outrageous as I look at my
no doubt.
Car that's kind of aging right now that I'm paying for and don't get to drive. Thank you. And so there's there's the joy in that, as Jamie well knows. So I think there are people now who don't get their braille displays cleaned on a regular basis, and they really should. I can tell you from working with people who are on the job, you accidentally don't think about hand lotion or peanut butter or what have you, but the braille display completely picks that up and runs with it. So there's a device that means, you know, in some cases, you being able to read text, and people don't treat that with love and respect. Now, I'm not just making that a common thread between, you know, Braille displays, blind people, and cars, because sighted people take care of their cars just as badly.
So oh yes, they do. Yeah. I love it when you get these people that you know, you get in their car and they say, you know, oh, your dog left dog hair and I had to vacuum my car, yet they've got fast food containers and paper and crap and garbage all over their cars, but that's okay.
My father was a service manager for 25 years and he had people come up and say, well, I checked the engine light and the check engine light came on and I opened up the hood and it's still there and I don't understand what's the matter and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
There was a woman who swore that as she accelerated, her dash got narrower and as she decelerated, her dash expanded back to normal size. So, I mean, there are people who have unique visions and upkeep. I mean, you know, not everybody keeps a pristine, clean house and all of that kind of stuff. But in our situation, I think it's going to be very interesting because we're going to have to treat that car as a Braille display or as an iPhone or as anything else that you're going to own to keep that up and going. Because I don't think we're going to see organizations, nonprofit organizations, start coming to buy your house and doing the oil and tires and stuff like, although I might've just given somebody another Kickstarter, who knows? I just, but I think there's a lot that has to happen. Like you said, with a social contract, but there's a lot of stuff we're going to have to happen too. And it's going to be costly, baby. Oof.
Yeah. And it's, mm-hmm. it's going to take a while. If as Nissan predicts we have, or that they have, several affordable, whatever that means, autonomous vehicles by 2020, it's going to be another 10, 15, 20 or so years before the social framework catches up to that.
And some of the autonomous tests now say it's really great if you're getting on a freeway. But when you're off a freeway or you're going to, say, the bank, you know, the car isn't doing as well to figure its way around the banking teller areas to pull in and that kind of stuff. And so there's a lot that's going to have to be thought of, but a lot of the stories that are coming out now is with LiDAR and stuff. It can work pretty well off the grid. So if it did have to do some things, it knows some. And now we're back to the Galaxy Gear and the smartwatch, Jamie, is I want Knight Rider. I want to walk out and tap my watch and have that car pull up and open the door and it knows it's
me. That's what we're going to have, man. We're going to have, you're going to tell your car to go somewhere. It's going to drop you at the front door. You're going to get out. It's going to go park itself. When you're done shopping or whatever, you call it and it comes and picks you up.
Yeah. It's going to be cool.
That's going to make parking a lot more efficient too, because you're not going to have people double parking or taking up like the whole left half of the parking spot. And then the next guy over, you know, parking lots are going to definitely be more efficiently filled.
Yeah. But what we need is for that to already be in the public eye, because what you want is to be the one guy who, I still drive my car, I believe in it, and everybody kind of be looking at him like the social pariah, like, you drive your car?
Actually, I really think that this is going to happen. Maybe I think it's going to happen quicker than some people think, just because I think that the perceptions around driving as God-given right, at least in this country, are changing privilege. A lot.
It's a privilege.
Well, I know it's a privilege. You know it's a privilege. I've known that for years, but the perception has been that when you're 16, it's your God-given right to get a driver's license, okay? It is not. Never has been, but that was the perception. Now, I mean, you're seeing these stories like this story that was a couple of weeks ago on NPR about young people who are not getting their driver's license. In fact, not at 16, not at 18, not at 20, because they just don't feel the need or don't want to or whatever. So I think that the perception really is changing. And I'm wondering too, if this is seems to be like a very American thing. If you go to Europe, there's a lot more public transportation, a lot more widely available. And I'm wondering if in places like that, the autonomous vehicle thing.
Car.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm wondering if in places like that, the autonomous vehicle isn't going to catch on more quickly and have a faster acceptance.
And does it have to be ads where someone's eating fried chicken or a hoagie sandwich while the car is driving, or the stereotypical one of a woman putting on her makeup while someone else is reading the paper? I mean, I think that's what has to sort of get there, because, you know, there's also the fear of maximum overdrive and, you know, technology taking over our lives. So it's going to be a very interesting social contract, but it has to happen on their level, because the minute they put us into it, it becomes a, what if such and such happened?
Right, hence the article that I just recently saw about this outrage that the state of Iowa is giving blind people gun permits.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow.
Hmm. I guess that's, I mean, beyond hunting, sure, why not? We'll get Pete Bosley on. He'll school us all.
See, here's my opinion on that. Very simply, blind people should have the same right as everybody else to be stupid. On the flip side of that, we should have the same right as everybody else to be responsible, and the same responsibility to be responsible. And if we feel that that entails owning a gun, then
shooting the wrong person.
Yeah, because sighted people never do that.
That's correct, and they have to go to jail for that too. So, I mean,
exactly. That's my point.
Plays into your responsibility conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I don't see what the difference is.
See what you've done, Rob.
I really think that extreme stupidity and sort of criminal history or propensity or what have you should really be of much more concern than blindness.
I'm just getting quieter and quieter because I know Rob is taking notes for his next eye report. See what you started, Dittman?
Yeah. Yep. We'll be hearing from him again, I'm certain. Especially about owning guns. And well, someone else we heard from is Mr. Jake Yale. Pardon me, Jake. Jake.
Jake Yale. He's from the Norway.
And Jake talks to us, among other things, about chocolate.
I made that impression for the right reasons.
Really?
Yummy chocolate.
Yeah. Go to IKEA. They have some great chocolate bars.
Yeah. He says chocolate. It's good. Okay. I'll take your word for that, Jake.
I've had chocolate with chili in it, like dark chocolate with chili, and it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sounds good. There is a chain here in Texas called Buc-ee's, and it's kind of, well, it's not a Stop and Rob. It's just much more of a bigger kind of thing than that. But they're like one of the 82 gas pumps out front and 82 bathrooms in the back kind of thing. But inside, they have a lot of interesting, almost gourmet style type foods. So there's an entire counter dedicated to fudge. And was chocolate and coconut, chocolate and mint. I actually have some chocolate mint sitting on the side here, fudge, English toffee. But they had this one called Texas Spice that was cayenne and cinnamon.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It is delicious. It is really, 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 really good. Yeah, Buc-ee's, if you're going through Texas, it's really, really worth it. In fact, when you're actually leaving Florida, we found this out coming back from convention, and you're turning onto I-10, there was a sign there that said 795 miles to your next Buc-ee's in Texas. And I was like, oh, because they make sandwiches and breakfast tacos. Oh, they have a breakfast taco called the Hippo. That's breakfast really, really tacos. Good. Yeah, those are really good. But yeah, no, he's right. There's lots of, and I'll give Jamie a link also to this Dilling candy bar store I mentioned earlier. They have an online presence. What they do is they actually have in the store candies from the past that you can't always find anymore. So they commission candies to be made. So they have a time capsule area where you have candy from the 50s, the 60s, and 70s. And you can go back and get the old Pixie Sticks and all the stuff that, you know, is off the market kind of thing.
Wait. They don't make Pixie Sticks anymore?
I don't see them anymore. I mean, it doesn't mean that they don't exist, but I don't see them as much as I used to.
Hmm. What about the wax bottles with the, you know, with the
Stuff inside?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have that, and they actually have an entire section, a part of an aisle dedicated to bacon. Bacon gum, and in fact, they had flavors of gum called ballpark gum, so it was mustard gum, hot dog gum,
ketchup
gum.
That just sounds nasty.
I guess you take like all three of those and put them together and eat them. Like, I don't know, but there was some definitely weird stuff in there. I'll have to go in there and do an audio tour. It's a very interesting place. Dylan's Candy Bar, and you can find them online.
Resources at saratalk.com is the place for you to send your emails, and you too can account for 2/3 of this podcast. You never know what we're going to talk about.
You too can be like Rob Dittman. There you go.
Exactly, yes. Leave an iReport on iBlink Radio using your iOS or Android device of choice. And certainly go to serotalk.com and leave a comment on our blog while you're reading the show notes, which you really should do this week, especially because we have a ton of stories that we've touched on, but really have a few of them have not been able to get into in depth. So this would be a great week to read articles.
Yeah, like why it's okay for Android to be on last year's version with new phones.
Uh-huh. That's because Google Play, right, Joe?
KitKat. KitKat is good. Yeah. I like KitKat. KitKat. Yeah. Actually, we actually talk about this on That Android Show. The latest That Android Show has Greg Stilson of Humanware talking about how to connect Braille displays to Android, also how to do text copying and how to do that kind of stuff. And it goes over a lot of questions that we've gotten over the last couple of months, all answered in the last version of That Android Show, including Buddy's conversation, because Android is decoupled. It's decoupled to all the big stuff, and they only do iterative things. Most of the Google Play services work down to 2.2, so it doesn't matter as much unless you're really, really worried about security and you're running apps that are not coming from the Google Play market.
And what about all the stuff that TalkBack relies on?
Well, that's
some of it's
well,
not
that's
available
a little different.
Anything.
I mean, we need the latest version because there is framework updates within Android. But to the general layman, to the norm, to the muggle, they don't necessarily need to be on the latest version of Android as much as they used to because there's not as much tied to the operating system as much. Unless you're going to do something like low-powered Bluetooth or something like that. But, you know, fragmentation exists. Well, that's why the iPhone trade-in policy is in. They want people on LTE because they're getting pressure from the carrier. So bring in that old iPhone and get a spiffy new iPhone 5 whatever because we want you to use the lightning cables too and buy all your stuff over again.
Absolutely. Well, it's time now for Roundabout. In this first article, the NIMI bracelet proposes to use your heartbeat as a password replacement.
Good
interesting
gravy.
Concept, I think.
Apple wants my fingerprints. This thing wants my heart rate.
Yeah.
Good grief. They're coming for you, buddy. They're coming for you. And if you have prosthetics, they won't get your retinas.
Yeah, I know. There you go.
That.
So just wave your wrist at the hotel door and it'll just open for you. And
there you go.
Well, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I kind of did.
Well, I mean,
too,
like you
actually.
Can't fake somebody's heartbeat. I guess what it sits over your pulse or something. I don't know.
Does it get a baseline so it shows you like a picture of a really very like a good looking steak or a car or a beautiful woman, and then it sees that that's your rate when you're excited or tells you about the latest Doctor
Who episode
coming out.
You have a little
November
arrhythmia going on there,
right? So,
not only do I not feel well, but I can't get into my apartment. Sorry.
Or does it show you your credit card bill from Bill Me Later, and then it takes your heartbeat from that and makes a baseline? And this is Buddy under stress. Jamie's got an $8,000 bill. Look, I can't open my car anymore.
Yeah, right. That dog that's running after me has messed
really,
up my
really
heart rate.
Big dog. There's a guy with a great big giant knife that's chasing me, and I need to get into my apartment right now.
So if Alina plays Zombies Run and her heart rate is up, then she can't unlock her phone or something. I mean,
something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I guess they take that into account. It's an interesting idea, and I do like because it's something you are because it's the three factors of authentication: something you know, something you are, and something you have access to. I think it's pretty interesting. It's certainly one of those that maybe somebody learns yoga so they can slow their heart rate down to match yours.
Right?
Yeah.
The power to cloud men's
minds. It's like a spy movie. What are you doing with that carton of cigarettes? I'm smoking this so I can get my heart rate to the same as this gentleman's,
It'll only set you back about $99, so that's not bad. Hey, just play
it's
with it.
It's not bad, although with all the watches and bracelets and this and that and the other thing, Man, I mean, all this electronic jewelry. Don't forget about the pretty Bluetooth earrings and
And the vibrating shoes and the Kinect on your head.
And then the
well,
the
that's
belt,
actually
the
Google Glass
the,
now, so I guess you don't have to wear the Kinect on your head as much.
Well, but you have the belt with the haptic feedback motors and stuff in it.
Oh yeah, you're halfway to Iron Man.
Just don't go out during a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Just get Tony
All
Stark
of your
to
electronics
build
are fusing to your body.
Whoops.
You're going to add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. That's correct. It's very much Borg-like. Yeah, no, I can see that. But you're right. I mean, imagine coming home and it's like that scene in Mad Max where he had to put down all his weapons. You're taking off the eyepiece and you're taking off the bracelet. You're having to charge all this stuff at your charging station.
It's like, yeah, I mean, like, how many wireless charging mats do you need in your house? Right, you got one for your shoes.
Shoes, that's the one I was thinking of. The welcome mat, that's also a charging station.
There you go.
So, sounds like a good movie, buddy. Maybe we need someone to voice this to do the movie trailer for it.
I think we've got just the guy for that.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. This guy is blind and he does voiceover work and he's looking to get into movie trailers eventually.
Yeah.
He uses speech, man. He doesn't use Braille.
Yeah, it sounds like he's using the new stream.
Yeah. Yeah.
The teleprompter thing we talked about.
Yeah. Right.
And he said it took him a couple of years. I can believe it, too. I can believe that it took him a couple of years to learn how to do that.
Yeah. That would have to be hard to do. I mean, Braille is...
I've heard of people copying behind. They call it copying behind on Morse code, where they'll, like, you know, hear something and then buffer five or six letters ahead so that they can start writing it down. And I guess that translators...
UN translators are good
UN
at that.
UN translators, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking of my friend Alan, who lives in Canada. He's retired now, but he was a translator. But yeah, you have to sit there and do this real-time translating, you know, and again, it's like copying behind. So I guess this guy's doing the same thing, except he's translating from English to English.
Yeah.
I used to be able to do something like that when I was in radio, when I was concentrating on audio a lot more, you know, where I would listen to a record in the background, talk to somebody, you know, update a playlist, da-da-da-da-da, all while doing that simultaneously. But now those skills are like my 3 years of high school German, gone with the wind. Mm. And I'm amazed that some people have exactly what you're talking about, buddy, that audio buffer.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't even do it with Morse code. I can copy Morse code 25, 30 words a minute in my head. But I can't copy behind. I either have to just listen to it as conversationally, or if I'm typing it, I have to type it real time. I can't. My brain doesn't work very well when doing the copy behind thing. So, I mean, like, this guy's brain definitely does, though. He's good, and you have heard him.
Yes, yes, and there's audio with this. I believe it's an NPR article, so you can listen to him do this, and it's very impressive. Well, Joe, this last article is, you said Ricky will be sad that she doesn't get to talk about this one.
Yes, this is so Ricky. Ricky Sam actually Simon. Knows more Simpsons quotes than I do.
Ah, wow. Okay. So this Simpson creator is dealing with colorectal cancer, diagnosed in November of 2012, supposed to have about 6 months to live, and has beat those odds, and is definitely
This is where we play the colorectal surgeon song by Bowser and Blue, right?
Oh, no. I think probably
it might be
not,
in a little bad taste, but sure, why not?
That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, he's you know, he's into comedy. He might get it.
I was going to say, he actually might think it was funny.
Do you know this song, Jamie?
I don't. I do not know this song. I'll have to
fix that.
Check it out. Yeah.
And we may or may not have a link in the show notes, aratalk.com. I like what he's doing. He's doing what Warren Buffett and what a lot of people are doing in philanthropy, which is, I'm either going to spend it all now on charities that I believe in, or I'm going to give it to people who could do more with it with research. Basically, you know, I can't take it with me, so here we go, spend, spend, spend. And they think that that's also the giving of this in his time has helped him, you know, with a positive outlook and allowed him to kind of, like you said, beat those odds. It is weird to see people who have, like, Sergey Brin with the vocal cords from earlier this year. And you think, you know, this person has all the money in the world and they can get any health thing taken care of they want, or, you know, something like that. But there are some things that are just beyond medical science at this time. So when faced with this prognosis, you know, he turned around and did a lot of good with what he had available. And of course, with his recognition and, you know, he actually may outlast the Simpsons at this point.
He might.
You know, that's still going. But I think this is really neat, and I think this is really admirable. And there are a lot of people who are choosing to do this now in not just tech, but in Hollywood and other places.
Right.
Ricky would have a good Simpsons quote. I seem to be running dry. All I can think of is Mr. Burns ones that are inappropriate. We'll ask Ricky. Maybe we'll find a YouTube clip or something that might fit. But yeah, that she would really like this. And she's a huge Simpsons fan. And recently she had an opportunity to hear some of the Simpsons episodes described. And so that helped a great deal because it was like listening to them all over again for her. Because there's a lot of jokes involved with the Simpsons that are things on signs or things in the background. And a friend of mine actually would watch The Simpsons in Spanish because it's in the audio description channel or the SAP channel in Houston. They play the Spanish version, which kind of worked for my friend because they read the signs in English in Spanish. So he was able to get a descriptive version of the visual stuff when it was in English into That's Spanish. Cool. Yeah, so there's a sideline. You never really thought that that would be a benefit, but it is for some people.
Right. Well, that's going to take care of this episode of Sarah Talk. When we record next week, we will be able to have some time to digest all the Apple news. Triple Click Home will record kind of in the frenzy of the moment, but the Sarah Talk podcast will be able to debate a little more. Can you imagine such a thing that we might actually have a lively debate.
Wait, so we'll be able to have a scorecard after Buddy gives his scorecard on whether he was right about his prediction. Oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun.
I'm sticking with my near 100% failure rate.
You know, if you end up being right about a bunch of stuff, it's going to really mess everything up.
It is.
Well, I'm not sure.
Then we'll have to introduce him as our Apple expert. Then we'll have to introduce
him. Right.
SPN's leading Apple expert, Buddy Brennan.
Well, I'm sure that after an episode of another Guy cast, of which we have just completed, Ricky and Lisa will both critique us rather heavily, perhaps rather sharply.
Mean with those red pens. They are just mean.
Ricky will come back in next week and take things back in hand. And
mailbag's all yours, hon. All yours.
Fail.
Fail.
Hashtag fail. Oh, good. That was another podcast done. Yay. Not the same without her either. We know it.
It is not.
See you next week, peoples.
Until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Sarah Talk. Visit us at www.saratalk.com. Send us an email at resources@saratalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life. We'll be right back.